This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Here we go, hour four of the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Yeah, Expressway is coming up in 20 minutes. LA Live coming up at 5:40. It's time now, though, for football's finest, and here's the Chief.
All right, I'm going to give you guys a few minutes to prep your bodies for the Dick Fangio Super Bowl Radio Row montage. In the meantime, some housekeeping. We might be getting a Valentine's Day Super Bowl Sunday collision course coming up here in the next couple of years.
We did. We talked about this last week while you were out, actually. I think 2 years from now?
Yeah, 2027.
Oof.
Super Bowl and Valentine's Day fall on the same day. This will be a great barometer for who's actually the head of household in these relationships. Don't you think? If you're getting...
I wonder
what
the Daytona 500 would be.
I mean, how many football guys are actually going to get...
They moved it back week after? Okay.
How many true thoroughbred football guys are going to get pulled away from Super Bowl Sunday to go meet some Valentine's Day requirements?
I'd hope none. Man.
I would hope. I hope zero. I would hope there would be zero dudes out there that get pulled away from the Super Bowl festivities for some Valentine's Day. Hey, there's the 13th. There's the 15th. There's literally any other day. We'll make our own Valentine's Day, honey.
We can go out Monday night.
There's only one Super Bowl damn Sunday. I can't move the Super Bowl. Yeah, I can have Valentine's Day festivities any time of the year, let alone the week. Super Bowl Sunday is Super Bowl Sunday. So hopefully that particular sanctity remains. But I'm sure
I think the play is to take them on a Valentine's Day brunch.
Yes.
You know, get them nice and loose.
Oh.
And you know, them brunches, bro, they have you clock out early.
That's right. She'll be asleep by 2 o'clock.
Time by kickoff.
Yeah. You wake up at 5:30 in the afternoon thinking you got to go to work. You know how it goes?
No.
Oh, Sunday.
Those mimosas, man, they will put you down. That's a heady play right there, Lucius. I like that.
6'8", you said Super Bowl and chill.
I was speaking of the mimosas. What about a Saturday night Valentine's dinner where you get her hammered? Now she's hung over.
Back. Yeah.
Oh, my God, Dawson.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Even better.
She's not want to see any light.
How you doing in there, honey?
Yeah.
Can I get you another Tylenol?
Oh, my God, Dawson.
The good news is, thanks to y'all's creativity and ideas here, like we have options.
Two good options.
Yeah. 2027, man. Mark your calendars.
You could go early dinner. You know, a lot of that pregame stuff gets repetitive. Boring.
I don't know, man.
You like the drunk idea, don't you?
It's problematic. It's toxic as hell. You in the Hurt Locker there, dear?
They can get her hammered.
I told you about those tequilas.
Gotcha.
Man, are they really calling Debo Samuel Debo Doncic in San Francisco right now?
20 pounds heavier than he should be.
The photos are pretty unflattering. And why is he wearing an Eagles jersey in the photo that I'm looking at?
He's probably, I don't know. Did you get ball sacked on the photo?
No, I think he's...
The Kelly Green Eagles jersey.
He's for Brown.
He's not, yeah, it is number 11, so that would make sense. I guess he's just repping for his guy, A.J. Brown.
Yeah.
But, 20 pounds overweight, he's a guy that is certainly on the trade block. But, I mean, he's wearing every bit of that 20.
Did you guys see the, I guess it was the tweet about who's the actor or the rapper that was going up for the layup, and they said, this is what.
Oh, Drewski.
Drewski.
Oh,
this is what,
no.
This is what Nico sees in Luka. He was going up
that
for
was
a,
pretty funny.
He was going up for a layup, and it's kind of.
Well, gosh, that Athletic article, and Sean Hardy did a great job breaking it down, but you can understand why Nico was not into Luka. I mean, they're polar opposites. It goes like all about fitness, all about, you know, what's your diet, what's your routine. Yeah. And Luke is the polar opposite. Like, I don't give a damn. I'm going to show up. I'm going to play basketball and then give me a burger and a beer.
Yeah, he apparently when he sees somebody he hasn't seen in a while, one of his first questions is, what'd you eat today?
Yeah.
You know, he's that dialed into nutrition.
I don't know. Why don't you mind your own damn business, Nico? Don't you have a basketball team to run or tank?
That was one of my favorite moments from All-Star Weekend when Jokic was asked about just not having Luka at All-Star Weekend. And he was like, yeah, I'm really bummed about it because we always have a great time the night before the game.
Yeah,
it's like, yeah,
we're getting hammered together.
Is that that's a hookah, beer, heater,
oh,
dance floor,
fist
combo.
Fight.
Yeah.
Like,
if his brothers are in town, if his brothers are there,
Lucius. I would guess that Luka and Jokic have never hung out on a night together where they both went home with their shirts on.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Or even just knowing where their shirt was
with a BAC under 0.2. Doesn't happen, you know? And that's by 7 o'clock at night, you know? These guys go big.
Yes.
I bet they have beers before the game together.
Totally.
Yeah, that's... Some of the all-star performances Luka's put out there.
I think that's... I think before regular season games. I think Luka was having beers before games.
Oh, yeah. I mean, didn't we get him with a pint one day? It was like at noon,
and he was blowing a cloud of hookah
at the
table. Looked like a damn good little brunch festivity there for Luka.
I mean, the Finley taking the beer from him, I think that was just like so repetitive for him.
That was a foreshadowing thing that we should have really sunk into.
Yeah.
Okay, so according to ESPN's Jeremy Fowler, the Jets could have some interest in Justin Fields. They're liking the idea of having a dual threat quarterback.
Mm. Yeah.
Some novice concept now in the NFL. Quarterback that can move, but he says
he
yeah
needs to be able to throw though, right, to be dual threat.
that's also a fair point there, Walt Chuck. He says they could have some interest. They like the idea of a dual threat quarterback. He's obviously younger, and Justin Fields has looked at the roster, sees some intrigue there, good young pieces, Garrett Wilson, good defense. So maybe Aaron Glenn era starts with Justin Fields in New York. I don't know how that's going to pan out for Justin Fields. Have a bad game. I'm sure Zach Wilson might be on the horn saying bro, anywhere
that one.
Anywhere but the New York Jets.
You just Titans.
You lose 10 overall in Madden as soon as you put a Jets uniform on.
Yes, that's either a tank move. I think that is a tank move, isn't it? That's the only reason you bring in Fields at this point.
That's
you don't think he's going to?
Yeah, probably.
I mean, he did start 4-0 for the Steelers, right?
He did.
He can win some games if you're on the best coach team in the NFL with a damn good defense and decent running game.
I do think he also probably lost the game that I saw against the Cowboys.
You did,
yeah.
Yep. It was like when that backup, I think it was Kyle Allen, showed up. I was like, holy hell, I hope they don't leave this guy in because he looks like he's playing better than Justin Fields.
Yeah, Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk, continues to hint at the weird vibe situation with Matthew Stafford and the Rams. I can't imagine, though, that McVay and the Rams would want to do the rebuild thing. Like, if they're going to move on from Matthew Stafford, they have to have something in the back pocket to know, hey, this is where we're pivoting to. I don't see them just sort of punting on a year with a dog-ass Jimmy Garoppolo type of quarterback. So it's like, what's the next move if you're the Rams and you're going to move on from Matthew Stafford, where there's some weird vibes and there's plenty of teams that'll be interested in Matthew Stafford for sure? But I just wonder, what's the pivot from Stafford if you are the Rams?
Is it Darnold bringing him home?
Could it be Darnold? Could it be Aaron Rodgers? I mean, they're looking for probably, I would assume, a bridge quarterback. And then maybe they end up, maybe they like a Jackson Dart. I think there's a first-round team.
Yeah.
Seattle's a team that has been rumored. There might be some of these teams that are like the Broncos and Bo Nix last year. Maybe McVay looks at Jackson Dart and says, that's my guy.
I agree.
Well, I would trust him. After the Goff or Stafford being in the Super Bowl two times over the last decade, I'm like, hey, whatever they come up with, I'm going to be happy with as a fan at this point. They probably have a better understanding of where Stafford is in his career than anybody else.
And they could go F them picks and go get Arch next year if he comes out.
Ooh, yeah.
Because they've done an excellent job of rebuilding that defense.
They've hit in the middle of the draft on that, man. It's been amazing.
Try to make the playoffs with like Mason Rudolph as your quarterback and probably not, and then be in position to trade up and get a guy. I would love that too.
Why do I keep seeing a bunch of love for a Louisville quarterback?
Oh, gosh. Tyler Shug. This is the most head-scratching, puzzling thing I've ever seen. I know he had an okay year with Louisville last year.
Mm-hmm.
The rest of his college career was just throw up in your mouth bad. Texas Tech fans, how do you feel about Tyler Shug? Mm. Not good. Oregon, how do you feel? Ooh, really bad. I don't get the hype with this kid at all.
The Shugs make some damn good bagels, though.
Sure do. I thought about going today after the draft show, but I stopped. Said no carbs for you today, Zach.
Have you said no to the cinnamon rolls?
I've not had any of the cinnamon rolls.
Shout out to Thunder
Dan. Do I want to? Yes, I do.
How was that? How was that cinnamon roll?
It was excellent.
Yeah.
That was like a cinnamon roll donut, right?
Yeah.
What do you call that? It came from a donut shop. So
I cut it in quarters. Yeah. I felt a little bit better about myself eating it.
There you go.
Yeah, I'd eat the whole thing. But man, it was excellent. Very, very, very soft.
Yeah, it's easier on the metabolism if you just layer in a quarter of a donut every 10 minutes or so.
Well, I'd take the Bill Parcells method. Like he used to like when he would like the sweet rolls we'd eat like at Grandy's, and he'd cut a sweet roll in half and eat it on the walk, filling up the rest of his plate. And then on the way back, he would pick up the
scoop
second
the
half.
Other half. Toss it on top of the giant plate.
Exactly.
Okay, so we got to read some tea leaves here because Shedeur Sanders obviously coming into this draft probably by most standards, he's the second best quarterback in this draft, I think, behind Cam Ward.
Yeah.
And supposed to go top 10, top 5. Field Yates had a mock draft with ESPN last week that had Shedeur Sanders going 6th overall to the Raiders. And he...
So did Daniel Jeremiah today when we talked about it, yeah.
Yes, okay. So Sanders saw that, and he, like, commented on it and basically just said, like, that's cap. Ain't no way I'm going 6th or something. So, like, he feels like for sure he's going in the top 5. Who is he talking to? Which team is giving him the assurance, hey, you're our guy for sure? Well, there's a clip going around right now of him. He's just kind of chilling, and one of his buddies, I guess, is recording. He's eating, and they're talking about playing Madden. Listen to what he says about the team that he always plays with in Madden.
Who you play with?
I don't even play Madden. I can play Madden.
You know who I play with.
See, I can play with anybody, though. He can only play with one team.
What team?
Brown.
Okay.
That's on the team.
Okay.
I like how
they're getting ready.
I like how they move around, bro.
That's the only team he can play with.
That boy getting
anybody
ready.
Anybody else is trash.
I like how they move around on there. I like the setup.
He likes the setup. He likes the way they move around in Cleveland with the Browns when he plays Madden.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a guy that understands the importance of handing the ball off to Nick Chubb and a dominant running back. And a good defense. Maybe he just loves playing with Myles Garrett.
He's got a soft spot for Stefanski.
Moves him off the line. Maybe he's freelancing Garrett as a linebacker here and there. You can do creative things with the Browns and Madden, right? Just ask Brick Johnson.
Yeah, that's another a very astute point by you, old Chuck, in this segment. You're absolutely on fire.
Pew, pew, pew.
Shedeur Sanders and the Browns? That was one that I was checking off as like, that would be a non-starter for Dion and
There's
Shedeur.
No way.
But
There's no way.
Is there any, I don't know. Should we be reading
no,
into this at all?
It's a smokescreen.
Okay, this is a smokescreen.
Smokescreen.
I don't even know if the Browns are going to be going quarterback
even
here.
Even what El Duce, man, the boy getting ready.
I know, yeah.
Boy getting ready.
He's getting ready. I mean, when his buddy is in the back hyping it up, it makes me wonder, but no, I think he's going to the Titans, or he probably is a Giant.
Did you guys talk yesterday about how Deion said he didn't become the Cowboys coach because Dak's contract?
I did hear him say, like, he basically just asked the rhetorical question, why would I coach in the NFL and not coach my son?
Yeah, you know, the story I read, it was framed as he turned the Cowboys job down because he's not going anywhere in the NFL without his son. And he, you know, noticed Dak Prescott 4 years left on his contract. There's no way my son's going to be there.
Yeah, I mean, so. I think they did a good job of spinning it to where it's like it's a Dak Prescott story. But in reality, like, it's what we knew. Dak's the quarterback here. They're not going to move on from Dak for Shedeur. So the better option would be maybe the Giants fire their guys. You hire Deion.
Yeah.
Maybe the Titans, one and done, their dude in Callahan, they hire him. Or is it the Vegas Raiders? But the Cowboys are never going to be that team if he did want to continue to coach Shedeur.
Yeah, I'm not going to coach without my son. They have a huge investment in their quarterback. They knew that. I'm not stepping up to that level without my baby.
Yeah. I get it. He's been pretty open and clear about that for a very long time. So this is not really a surprise to anybody. And I still think whatever team ends up drafting Shedeur, that particular head coach of that team now has to be on high alert at what point are they going to go try and get Deion to replace me on the sidelines?
Maybe that's why you go with a 74-year-old Pete Carroll or whatever he is.
Yes, but again, Shedeur Sanders, when he's mocked to the Raiders at six, he says, that's cap, ain't happening.
Wow.
So it's like, I don't know, because that would make plenty of sense with Pete Carroll, short stint, couple of years with the Raiders, get him kind of off the ground a little bit in their rebuild, and then here comes Papa Deion. So I don't know, but Shedeur definitely confident he's going in the top five. To the idea that the Bengals are going to be placing the franchise tag on wide receiver T. Higgins. T. Higgins' mom had three simple words: selfish bastards. All right, here is the moment we've been waiting for. Are your bodies ready?
Ready.
Yes.
The Dick Fangio montage from the Super Bowl licks in New Orleans.
It's Vic.
Wow.
Here's the
payoff.
Here's the payoff, ladies and gentlemen.
Do you think Dick Fangio will have the answers to slow down Mahomes and Andy Reid?
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be the difference in this game, because I think if you look at coach and quarterback, the Chiefs have the edge, Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes versus Sirianni and Jalen Hurts, but Vic Fangio is an X factor. Like, the defense is playing as well as it has all year.
One Super Bowl question for you.
Yeah, yeah.
Whose defense do you trust more in a big game like this, Steve Spagnuolo's or Dick Fangio's?
That's a really great question. I think that it's very, you can't go without saying that you don't notice the Vic Fangio effect on the Philadelphia defense this year.
What about the difference in coaching? Andy Reid, Sirianni, then you got Spagnuolo, Dick Fangio. Like,
yeah, I mean, look, there's a ton of respect for Vic. They coach in different ways. They have different philosophies. Vic likes to play it top down.
Is there any chance that that either a Steve Spagnuolo or Dick Fangio could end up getting back into a head coach opportunity?
I don't know if Vic Fangio, I don't know if he would want to be.
But what about the history and the track record and the matchup of now it's Andy Reid and Mahomes versus Dick Fangio and that Eagles defense that is just phenomenal?
Now, one could argue that Vic Fangio has a perfectly good defense and probably better than any defense he's had when playing Patrick Mahomes. He's never lost to a Vic Fangio defense.
Okay, hey, you guys are two great defenders, two great defensive coordinators in this Super Bowl. Steve Spagnuolo, Dick Fangio. Who are you more impressed by?
Dick Fangio, as you said, or Vic Fangio?
Oh, what did I say? Did I say Dick?
Dick Fangio, right?
You said Dick Fangio.
That was a mistake. I don't know.
He
what
was
happened.
Going so fast. It
on
was good.
Fire. I appreciate that.
You're killing this whole interview, by the way. That's tough. I'm gonna go with Vic. Why not? Spags.
I think it's Dick.
I'm gonna go with Vic. Why not?
Why not? Thank you, Kyle Van Noy, being the only individual week long that had the courage to step up and call me out for my mistake.
The under hit then on that, right?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
All right, good job.
Best one was Lewis Riddick, because he said Vic and then paused like a second and a half.
Yeah.
And then he did it again like 10 seconds later.
Yeah. That was my favorite. Every single one of them put an emphasis on saying Vic at least once in their response. And Josina Anderson, as kind as she is, saying, wow, what a great question.
Really, she was like,
wow. Thank you, Josina.
Can't wait for next year. Are we back in California next year, Brian?
Santa Clara.
Fran, yeah.
Okay. It's time to hit the expressway. Cowboys assistant coaches talking with reporters today. We have highlights from new offensive coordinator Clayton Adams, what kind of lineman he's looking for, and much more. And we'll get you updated on everything that's been breaking throughout the day here. It's the G-Bag Nation.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana.
Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Here we go. We're hitting the expressway. LA Live with Lucius Alexander's coming up in 15 minutes. Segments brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today at carsforkids.org. The expressway itself is presented by the on-time experts. Look at everything that's been developing in the world of sports throughout your broadcast day. We do have some more Clayton Adams audio, the Cowboys' new offensive coordinator. What's he looking for? What's his philosophies and all that coming to you in just a sec, Brian.
Excited about this, man. I like the fact that that you could come in and you could talk about how you're going to fix the offensive line, how you're going to fix the running game, all that. They've got to go in there with the attitude, though, of getting it fixed. It's going to take some players. We talked about the offensive line. The running backs are going to be huge in this thing. They got to get the tight ends the right way as well. And, you know, the quarterback is, a big part of this as well. So there's a lot going on here. You can't just talk about it. You got to go out there and do it. And that's what the challenge is now.
Do you think coaching is more important than it's ever been?
I think coaching is important. I think certain players respond to coaching. I think there's others that might not, that it might not be the most. But I think there's certain players that it means something to them that if they feel like that a coach is, and I think this is what Clayton Adams was talking about, trying to help them become the best players that they can. Yeah. Sometimes you think it's kind of like lip service kind of a saying and all that. But in reality, though, there's some players that really do respond. If Clayton Adams can get Tyler Guyton to play better,
yeah,
that to me will be the best thing going forward.
Do you think developing players or the scheme is more important from your coaches?
I think that if you're not very good with your players, if your talent level is not good, you've got to scheme around some things. We talk about what the Cardinals and how they run the ball in the various ways, inside zone, outside zone, the lead stuff that they do, the pin and pull stuff that they do. If you're not very good, you have to find ways to run the ball or play offense scheme-wise if your players aren't good enough. So that's when scheme becomes important, is like, hey, we can't man up. We can't zone block here. We're not athletic enough to get to the second level. But what we can do is we can block down, pull a guy to the outside, and then if we have the back that can kind of get there and then make a cut off that, then we can run the football. So it's going to be up to these coaches. That's why I was hopeful that somebody would have asked the question, have you sat down and watched the tape of this offensive line? Or the offense, and what are some of your thoughts? You know, he might not give you a great answer, but I would love to at least tried to have get him, you know, to get
maybe you guys can talk to him on draft night, draft show.
Yeah.
You know, I know that a lot of those coaches become available throughout our broadcast presentation on all three days of the NFL draft, and we're heading fast and furiously to that. But I think, you know, you nailed it.
Scheme is important.
Because absolutely.
When you're not good enough or you're really good at something, you always say, oh, you can hang your hat on that. And scheme will do that. But if you're not good at running the football and you have problems with, you know, securing down blocks and stuff like that or down linemen, then you've got to figure out other ways to do it until you get the personnel that can block that way.
You know, if you have great players but your scheme sucks, you'll be a disappointment. If your scheme's good and your players are just, I think you need both.
Yeah.
You know, and this league has been historically noted by great coaches coming up with something. Right. And whether that's Landry's defense or Bill Walsh in his offense, you know, or now the McVay revolution, if you're not in line with that or capable of coming up with something great on your own, then you're going to get left in the dust.
Which defensive coordinator got the absolute most out of Micah Parsons? And I know Micah Parsons missed some games this
Zimmer.
Year.
Yeah,
did Mike Zimmer get the most out of
the way that he moved him around?
See,
I think absolutely was something that DQ never really tapped into.
The unblocked pressures.
There you go.
Having him rush over center.
Yeah, there you go. It's sitting down and watching him play and like, man, they left meat on the bone on this one.
So let's jump into the Clayton Adams here in just a second, and then we'll get to some basketball stuff, some other NFL notes, and a baseball story with the Rangers that is a bit concerning. Here's Clayton Adams number 3. Is this a stepping stone towards calling plays here or somewhere else?
That's a good question. You know, I hadn't really thought of it from that perspective before. I'm not 100% sure what I'm going to feel like down the road or any of those things to answer your question, but I am excited about the opportunity and the fit for what I think that this job is going to be, which, you know, really is trying to figure out. At the end of the day, our job when we're putting things on the call sheet is to be promise offers. And so we're trying to figure out what do we do good and how do we make that look multiple? How do we make that look different? And so that's the part that I'm really looking forward to focusing on. And I think it's also it's a leadership position within a great organization. So that's the part that I'm looking forward to the most. And the, you know, the answer your question about down the road, I don't know yet.
That's the quote I was looking for earlier. I was like, where that's is it. This quote?
Yeah.
You know, when he's talking about being multiple chief, that's music to my ears. How about you?
Yes, absolutely. He's talking about being problem solvers, trying to figure out what we do well and how do we make that look multiple. That's like the secret sauce to all these guys. Hey, we have a couple of things we do really, really well. How can we deploy it to where it looks different to the defense, but it's still the same bread and butter type deal? How many different variations of sort of the exact same thing can you lean on? And so like everything that these guys are saying from Schottenheimer's opening press conference to then executing it with some of the staff that he's put together here, reaching outside his comfort zone to get guys he's never worked with before to help him achieve something he's never achieved before. And then they come in here and the way they're talking about everything today was about physicality and violence. And as a coach, my job is to get the best out of these guys and be a problem solver. Like, yes, this is all really music to my ears.
It's trending towards the big issue has been right toughness. Like, are the Cowboys a tough football team? We heard that a lot after the losses to San Francisco. We've got to be a tougher football team. This coaching staff is certainly going to bring a better sense of toughness, and it sounds like physicality, and not only the players that they want, but also the way it seems like they're going to implement the culture and, of course, the scheme that they want to employ. I mean, I did see that Connor Riley already has met with Tyler Guyton. So Connor Riley's getting ahead of this thing. He's already been in contact with him. He said, quote, the sky is truly the limit for a young man like that. There is going to be a process. It's going to be a whole lot to it. There's going to be a lot of work that's got to be involved with it. He and I are just getting to know one another, but he's a tremendous skill set. I'm really excited to get to work with him. And that's why some of the stuff with Guyton was surprising to me over the course of the season. Because what was going on? He gets drafted. He's immediately working with Duke Manyweather. I didn't expect we'd hear any stuff about work ethic, you know, wanting to improve. I thought Tyler Guyton had that stuff built in. So some of the struggles that we heard whispers about throughout the season, you know, I was surprised. I was. And I think hopefully Connor Riley's the right dude to come in and get the most. Mold that ball of clay. Like we heard earlier on the draft show from Bobby Belt. Guyton's got that. Super talented player. Can Coach Riley coach him up?
Strong guy, you know. There's really, it's more than that, right? And I think they took a guy with a tremendous amount of upside. But
they took a traits guy that hadn't played a lot of football.
Yeah, there
that's
you go.
True.
Yeah. Okay, so speaking of that, cut five, what traits is new Cowboys offensive coordinator Clayton Adams looking for in his offensive lineman?
The same thing that I want from every player on offense, and that is to create violence in the game, be aggressive, run, hit. I think that every decision that we make schematically needs to lean that direction. So if there's gray area, what is going to keep the, what is going to allow these guys to play more free and run and hit and be violent?
Yeah, I mean, that sounds like running the ball. We're going to get out and nail some guys, and that sounds tremendous. The Cowboys have had some really good offensive linemen over the years. They've had some really good running backs. And, you sit there and you wonder, why can't they get farther in the playoffs? I think it's because their offensive coaching just has not been creative enough. You have to make the defense think at the snap. And by running the same play out of different sets and making it look different, you allow your players to just intuitively react off the ball. We know what we're doing. I know where my steps are. I know where I got to get to this guy. The defense is thinking, what are they doing? And then a quarter second after the snap, like 0.2 seconds is the average human reaction time. 0.2 seconds, they go, oh, crap, it's that play again. But because they had to think instead of just react, now your guy's in the perfect spot.
Sure.
And, you know, the hole's bigger as a result. It's just those quarter second type of deals that neither of the offensive coordinators that we've seen really for a long time, but especially over the last 15 years in the Jason Garrett and Mike McCarthy era have been brutal. Number seven, excitement level working with Dak, CD, and Jake Ferguson.
I'm excited about all three of those guys, and I think there's the list probably, I won't go into it, but I think the list probably even goes a little bit further than that for guys that you feel like are established and have chances to be premium players, and I'm really excited about the opportunity to let it unfold and look at it and say, how do we put these guys in position, an advantageous position as many times as we can within a game, you know, and that's the challenge to me, and when you have good players, that's a little bit easier.
Well, unfortunately, Clayton, I don't think the list goes any further, does it? Do we have any other offensive skill players that are established and capable? Is it Dak, CD, and Jake?
Right? Oh, the skill guys. Yeah, that's why we keep talking about a wide receiver here. You know, we keep talking about running backs because they just right now they don't have that.
And are you hunting tight end at all? You looking for a guy?
It's a great tight end draft.
It is actually a very good tight end draft. And you could probably – the Cowboys have – had like a little bit of a history of taking that fourth round pick, which they don't have right now, but I wouldn't be surprised in the fifth round.
There's with those, one of those guys in the fifth.
Yeah.
There's Luke Lachey from Iowa.
Yeah.
Maybe Jalen Conyers from Texas Tech. Those are two names that I've mentioned before.
There's going to be some guys. It's a deep draft that way.
One more from the new Cowboys OC, Clayton Adams. How do you describe your coaching style?
Number one, I see myself as a teacher as much as anything else. You know, I feel like two of my biggest passions in life are teaching and learning. And number two, I really try to think about in regards to how I communicate with the players on the field, in the meeting room, is controlled energy. And so I'm not going to have a lot of blow-ups, but it's going to be very focused beams of here's the problem, here's the solution, here's where we're going to try to get that done, rather than I'm not really a big blow-up scream guy. But they got to feel the intensity.
Love a guy that's got a passion for teaching and is capable of doing it. Mm-hmm. I think if you're obviously Cooper Beebe, this is a dream come true for you.
Yeah, no, he... You know, the fact that he knows the offensive line coach and the fact that they're going to even try, like I say, he got better as a run blocker as the season wore along. And I think that's something that he could build on going forward. But to have his former coach here with the team now, and it has to be really special to him to be able to continue his career with this guy.
Little free agent talk. Today was day one of the franchise tag window. So the news is going to be really coming in strong here over the next couple of weeks. And hopefully you can stay tuned because we'll have breaking news as soon as it happens. You have Matt Bowen doing free agent projections here on ESPN. Best fit for each guy. Osa going to the Chargers. Zach Martin to the Chiefs, replacing Trey Smith.
Wow.
Last year, he did play in 10 games. His block win rate was 93.7%. That ranked 15th among guards. While injured, So I think Zach Martin has a pretty good chance of being pretty dang good next year. But he also listed the Cowboys as the best fit for 8-year veteran Mike Hilton to help bolster the secondary. He's been with the Bengals. He has 13 picks, 11.5 sacks, and 34 pass breakups in 8 seasons. So that's about par for the course, right? A lot of the Tolos out there are like, Mike Hilton? Who's that?
Yeah.
Bengals guy, you know, probably a budget signing.
He's really good with experience. The Steelers.
There you go.
As a slot corner for a while.
And people, they'll blitz the heck out of him. I don't know how much Eberflus likes to do that, but in Pittsburgh, he was a dynamite slot blitzer kind of dude.
Nice. Story in the Athletic/New York Times sports section. Mavs had no intention to give Luka the Supermax. I know that was reported a couple of weeks ago, but it's, you know, in writing today in a story about Nico, really, and his background and how he's not impulsive, very detail-oriented and patient, unemotional in his decisions. It kind of read to me, Woolchuck, like a let's prop Nico up piece. Like, hey, here's my source. I'm going to do a story about how he's a god, actually, so people will get off his butt.
It did match a lot of the stuff that we had kind of heard behind the scenes, though.
Yeah.
Like the reasons as to why he would probably move on from a dude like Luka, because those are his values. And I guess when you're growing up in Nike, I mean, the stuff with him being tight-lipped and all that, and that whatever they would call that Nike group that would go in and seal the deal, like they were all very private. So it makes it make more sense in terms of how nobody else knew about this and why he loved Anthony Davis and why he doesn't see Luka maybe working out long-term. But it did. It was very much like, okay, here is – let's move you into Nico Harrison's vision and mind and way of thinking so you can get a better understanding of it. And, oh, by the way, he's also a badass that's accomplished all of this in the course of his life.
You know, it was kind of like, listen, this guy's not an idiot. You might disagree with his decision, but he's not an impulsive guy. You know, he's not going to be tricked into anything. It was his idea to keep it quiet, not Rob Pelinka. I enjoyed reading that part. Kyrie Irving, the people that don't like him already are really going to be mad at him for this one. He's going to try to play for Australia in the 2026 Olympics. I think, you know, getting a chance to represent the country that he was born in. In soccer, we don't let this happen. Like, you get tied to a country, but in basketball, it's a little bit more open because USA has such an advantage. We want to share the wealth if anybody wants to go over there and do that. I remember Donnie Nelson, you know, Don's son, he coached Germany back in the day.
Back in the day.
And they almost upset the USA, and he said it just made him sick. He'd never do it again. Evan Carter's story today, speaking of making you sick, a back issue that's chronic. We're not sure on what the outlook is for Evan Carter, but he's pain-free right now, and hopefully he has an awesome season, I think, is the biggest takeaway. And it's time to go into the Pimp Cup, where Lucius has LA Live.
All right. It's a Toxic Tuesday. Let's get into it right after the great Rick James.
All right, you squares. Time you smoke. Fire up this funk and let's have a toke.
I don't read books. I was in special ed my whole life. So they made me read books. I could read a book so quick. Like, I could read 1,000 books in a week.
You could do that?
Yeah, because I was, like, trained to read.
Damn, and because of that, they put you in special ed?
Well, in special ed, they train you in special ed.
Oh, okay.
So you get talents that nobody else gets in the school because you're special ed. So they're pushing things on you. You know what I mean? But I like audio.
Oh, I love that.
No, I love audio.
Does that mean I should have been on special ed again?
No, it doesn't mean that. Okay. And nobody probably should be in special ed. It's just what the people in charge tell you it is.
Man, what? Man, what is you talking about, bro? Man, what? Hey, this is LA Live for Tuesday, February 18th, 2025. It is a Toxic Tuesday. I mean, it's toxic, too. It's a Toxic Tuesday here in LA Live. Shoot. I'm going to go back and play y'all's Deion Sanders takes.
Okay.
Toxic as hell. Toxic as hell.
On brand.
Yeah, toxic as hell, bro.
What was the most toxic part, you think?
Let's see. I did not know that y'all were under the assumption that he wanted to coach in the NFL only if he had a son with him.
Well, that's what he said.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know. I remember I telling you guys that, and it was like, well, it's the Cowboys, Lucius. It's the NFL, Lucius. I was like, well, I don't know, man. He said, oh, Lucius, I don't know. You boys are toxic as hell, I tell you what. You boys are toxic.
Hey, comes natural.
Yeah. Hey, we are living in remarkable times right here, people. Drink your water. I've had a whole lot of it. Damn near a gallon, almost. Mind your business. Mind your business out here. And if you're going to argue about something, make it make sense. Make it make sense.
Yes, flow logically, at least.
Yeah, make it make sense. Because I'm telling you, we are living in remarkable times. This is basically America's new reconstruction. We made it, people. We're living through it. It's pretty awesome.
Deconstruction. I'm not sure right now.
I mean, however you want to put it. Yeah, I guess they ain't finished making the pie yet. We don't know where it's going. Hey, G, back of the day. We do it every weekday on the Fan at 2:30. If you see anything floating out there, don't be afraid to hit me up at Lucky Lucius P on social media, Lucius Alexander on Facebook, or you can follow us all. You can find G-Bag Nation on Twitter. Our winner right here comes from the Fan After Dark again. These boys are just climbing up the charts. And plus, I'm back here, you know, editing audio, and I hear it. And I'm like, what did he just say? Is that what? Are the mics on? Oh, okay. He said that on the air. Cool. Blake was dealing with a person on the fan text who basically just, they're no longer a Blake fan. They're giving up on Blake. Hey, what my man Eric say? They broke up with Blake.
Yeah. They broke up with him. It was just a fad.
It was just a fad. listen to all of this, y'all.
682 is not dating me. Blake, I'm starting to not like you. I'll finish.
What a thing to say.
On Valentine's Day.
What a thing. Man, why? What did he say?
I loved you when you started.
Okay.
But you got to stop being a hater. You smash on Fred, and he's pretty non-objective despite being a KC native.
Oh, we got a Fred Truther on there.
Okay,
yeah, we got Fred's burner on here.
First of all, hey, look, hey, thanks.
But
that's what. But I mean, we both bust on each other.
Oh,
I mean, every.
I gotta leave the show.
No way, you just said that.
Fred's like one of those callers to what you're drinking and what you're thinking. Hey, man. Hey, listen up here. We fight all the time.
Hey, it's hilarious. Hey. All right, LA Live 105.3 The Fan on a Toxic Tuesday. Y'all be careful out here. It's going to get cold, right?
It is.
Right. And it's cold.
About 9 o'clock tonight.
Shoot. All right, let me ahead get this work done so I can get on out of here and not be stuck on the frozen roads.
I'll make sure of that.
Roads? Where are we going? We don't need roads.
There you go.
We have a 26-year-old, this is real quick, 26-year-old political influencer. It's Toxic Tuesday. Her name was Ashley St. Clair. You guys ever heard of Ashley St. Clair?
She's the one claiming that Elon Musk is her baby daddy, right?
Yeah. Okay, so I saw this yesterday. Dipping. The first I'd heard of her.
Side note. It's already 34 out there, bro.
Shoot.
Yeah, it's yeah, we hit it now.
I'm cooked.
Yeah.
I am cooked.
17 tonight.
Wow.
Yeah, wind chill, I believe, -2 in the morning when we wake up. Good morning.
School yeah, 19 for, 7 a.m. for a high, 19 in the morning.
7 a.m.
So
we
got
for
the black
high.
Ice and all this stuff probably starting just at, in the next 30 minutes.
Windy and 33 at 7
p.m. Dulcus keeps alleging that the roads are going to be fine, like tonight kind of deal.
Well, if you listen to our guy.
Brunoff
says that the Arctic air will dry off the roads. The air, they'll take the moisture off the roads.
Okay, there you go. So they're aligned.
I listened to his deal.
There's a whole lot of science going on right here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There's a whole lot of wishing, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're all crossing our fingers.
Yeah. All right, Ashley St. Clair, she said she had Elon Musk's baby about 5 months ago.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's been confirmed.
I think we're being reckless here. She's being reckless. Maybe.
You think so?
I think maybe so.
We said allegedly, didn't we? I think she didn't. She kind of confirm it and just say she doesn't want to talk about it.
Yeah. I mean, he has two others.
Two?
Yeah.
Two other baby moms.
This is his fourth. Yeah.
Baby moms.
He names the kids.
He's got 11 kids.
Crazy wild names.
Yeah. Slash and semicolon.
Dash.
Dash.
Control alt delete.
Ampersand.
Hacker.
Yeah.
Hacker.
Yeah. Elon Musk is 53 years old. Has 12 kids with three different women's.
Yeah.
Three different women's. And if this baby is his, he will be one over Nick Cannon.
Wow. Got him. Ooh, nice.
Nice.
One over Nick.
Still not
Cannon.
Touching Antonio Cromartie, though.
Bruh. He's still trying to count them babies.
She is trying to catch up.
Tyreek Family values, Lucius. Very important.
Yeah, I heard you, Dustin. Yeah, my man is 53 years old, and she's 26.
Wow. Nice pull.
Yeah, because she's not a bad-looking lady, and he looks like a stand-up frog, like a nude frog standing up on his hind legs.
See, why is he taking so his shirt off on vacation sometimes?
That torso.
You're a shirt-on guy.
Yeah.
Embrace it.
You're a shirt-on guy, dude.
Yeah. One torso.
Get you one of those swimming shirts.
Let me give you some advice. You're a shirt-on guy, okay? Well, no one's ever told you this.
Blame it on skin problems.
Take it from somebody that knows, all right?
Yeah.
We leave that shirt on, please, God.
Hey, there's a U.S. representative. This is Toxic Tuesday. U.S. representative out of New York proposes a bill to make Trump's birthday a federal holiday because it falls on Flag Day.
Okay. I could use another day off.
I mean, it is federal. If we got to work, at least we get it comped, right?
Up right now.
I wonder what day they're suggesting to take away. Sorry. Oh.
I can show you some on the map. Mm-hmm. There's some probabilities.
Yeah.
And Donald Trump has framed his mugshot, and he hung it next to the Oval Office, right outside the Oval Office.
Wow. Yeah, I did see that. I was watching a lot of cable news over the weekend.
I couldn't believe that was real. I was like, this has got to be something. No, he put it up there, bro.
Yeah, right as you walk in.
Yeah, so the media's got to rub it like the Apollo would before you walk in there and ask him a dumb question. Yeah. Yeah. That's some wild stuff. Your boy Alex Jones was on InfoWars breaking down Kendrick Lamar's performance at the Super Bowl and breaking down the lyrics. He says Kendrick Lamar is anti-globalist, which I kind of feel like we all kind of are. In a sense, right?
Yeah. Yeah, isn't Alex Jones anti-globalist?
Can I get an origin?
Yeah, let's get it. Yeah. Yeah.
What do you mean by that?
What do you mean by that? Yeah. But he says that the performance of Not Like Us was pro-Trump, pro-conservative, and anti-globalist. And, of course, he breaks it down the way that, you know, Alex Jones does.
And then you listen to the song. It's talking about people abusing children sexually and how they are not like us. They not like us. They don't like us and they're not like us. It's a double meaning. Genius.
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 And he even breaks down the lyrics, which this is the real reason why I pulled it.
My dude Alex Jones has had a bit of a glow up, though. I had a double take at him.
Yeah, he looks amazing right now.
He actually looks like he has lost a little bit of weight.
What's going on?
He goes Ozempic? Yeah.
Is that what that is?
Maybe. I mean, you'd have to guess.
I thought those were lawsuits, you know, that stress lean you on out. Stress. You got to work a lot now. I don't know. Hey, man, I used to listen to Alex like way back in the day. Doom, 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 doom. Broadcasting from his... I used to love that joint, bro. Oh my gosh.
I liked his rant on Piers Morgan. Was that Piers Morgan?
Yes.
I think that was G-Bag of the Day one.
Yeah, year. Yeah. He says 1776 is coming again. I'm going to put a foot up your behind. Yeah, I used to listen to him all the time, especially when I was out there broadcasting in Austin. I used to listen to Alex Jones.
He lives down there, doesn't he?
Yeah, for a long, very long time. Yeah, here's your boy reciting the lyrics to Not Like Us, and I think it's just hilarious.
Say, Drake. I hear you like them young. You better not ever go to cell block one. Ooh. To any bitch that talk to him and they in love. Just make sure you hide your little sister from him. They tell me,
oh my God,
Chubb's the only one that get your hand-me-downs and party at the party playing with his nose now. And Baca got a weird case.
Why is he around?
Why is he around? Certified lover boy, certified pedophiles.
Oof.
Why you trolling like a bitch? Ain't you tired? Try and strike a chord, and it's probably A minor.
Man, that's the best read of rap lyrics since Rush Limbaugh did his Jay-Z bit back in the day.
Oh, my gosh.
I don't know, have you ever heard Ben Shapiro do the WAP lyrics?
Oh, my God. Yeah. People sent that to me. This is you back in the day, Lucius.
That's amazing stuff.
Yeah, people sending that to me.
Why you trolling like a bitch?
Yeah.
I think I'm going to ask that to Brian next time he's getting after me.
Why you trolling like a bitch? Now, is Miles Bridges, is he still hooping? in the NBA?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
That's crazy. I asked Carter the same thing, and he said, yeah. And I was like, what? This can't be real, bro.
He's in Charlotte where nobody gets to watch him.
Okay. Yeah. Well, he raps under the name RTBMB. Okay. Wow. And he dropped, he didn't drop the song, but he kind of gave us a leak of a song. Well, he just disses everybody in the NBA in a sense. Ooh. And he dents Michael Jordan. Yeah. And I'm not going to play this whole thing because it's really bad quality because it's just a leak. I'm like, put the whole song out and stand on it, bro. Stop playing, but listen to this a little bit, bro.
It's a lot of NBA music in my life. It's a lot of NBA music in my life.
Do you hear what he's saying?
A lot of NBA?
NDA?
NBA.
Oh, NBA.
A lot of NBA naysayers I don't like. Oh.
Let him know.
And he's still hooping. Bro, what? You ain't going to make it to the locker room.
It's a lot of NBA music in my life.
Yes, it is.
It's a lot of NBA music on Mike. First of all, Kobe over Mike.
Wow.
Strong takes.
Yeah, man. I hope he got some hands because somebody going to see him after this because they were naming names in the rap song.
Wow.
Yeah, they were naming names, but the audio is so bad, it's just not worth playing. But they need to put the clear version out.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Maybe they didn't want to.
Clearly.
That could blow up on social.
Yeah.
Yeah. You might be scared of that.
Because he plays for Charlotte. Obviously, MJ's not a part of that situation right now, ownership-wise, anymore. But
yeah,
he was. He had to wait.
Lucius, that song is definitely out. I tried to find it. Where is it? Send it to me, bro. Send it to me. The real deal Holyfield song. I tried to find it.
They should have threw him into the halftime All-Star festivities. Let him get his bars off.
That's not an NBA. Everybody look around like, who are we talking to?
Kevin Hart was roasting all the players. Why not have Miles Bridges?
Oh, I didn't play this for Dawson because he wasn't here. You said
what I missed.
They're using Anthony Davis's name in battle raps now.
Oh, no.
He's a punchline.
Oh, no.
This is our guy. Damn.
But never in my life was I cool running. We could take it to any level you want. No, I'm tool tucking. Anthony Davis, soon as you think I'm playing, I'ma pull something.
Wow, that's a bar.
That is a bar.
Yeah.
Somebody needs to steal that and put that on a hit.
Did you guys see the Woj bomb, by the way? Just did a little sneak attack Woj bomb, and then he just walked away from the wreckage. Breaking, Sarave is acquiring Anthony Davis as head of Sarave. Hashtag Sarave partner. I believe Anthony Davis had like the biggest jug of Sarave lotion like at his locker and people were wondering about it. And I guess apparently he's got some deal cooked up. So it's from the real Woj account.
I just saw that. That's crazy.
Just popping in and out with some breaking news.
Okay, yeah. That's a pretty good lotion too.
New endorsement.
Yeah.
He's got the biggest Sarave jug you've ever seen at his locker.
Yeah. It doesn't smell at all. I like cocoa butter because it smells. I smell like I'm clean. I smell moisturized. You know what I'm saying?
All right.
My name is Lucius Alexander. I'm going to get on out of here. Get on out of here so I can podcast and do everything I need to do so I won't be stuck out there.
Get home safely.
Yeah, I can get home safely.
It's chilly up here. I got the heat on max and a hat on.
Yeah,
getting real cold talk. Already.
Look,
windows are big. I can feel it coming through.
Bro, look, I had to put a sweater on.
I had
to put a sweater on in here because it got kind of cold. All right, I'll be black tomorrow. Lord willing, the creek don't rise. That's my time. My name is Lucius Alexander. And if you got that song, send it to me. I'll holler.
There he goes. LA Live every night, 5:40 here in the G-Bag Nation. Yeah, hopefully that new building's more energy efficient.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Moving up.
I think we have less space. So we'll probably be the... We'll have some
easier to heat.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah.
Okay, sports hodgepodge time. I believe coming up at 6:20, it's going to be a birthday roast. You guys just told me leave that segment open like I wouldn't notice.
You don't know what's
so they're going to be making fun of me coming up at 6:20. Where are we going next, Chief?
Well, we have a sports hodgepodge here. I got Rangers media guide takeaways, and we also have the Steroid Olympics next here in the nation.